Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast, a podcast for leaders and by leaders, where they share their secret sauce to success with technology, culture, and people. So hold on, because another great episode starts right now. Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Anglero, Cognizant CTO and Innovation Officer for the Nordic countries, for back with another great guest on the podcast. And listen, every podcast we have someone different. We have another, it's always C-level people. I think I'm very lucky for that. And I think that's a reflection of the audience and all you out there. So thank you for subscribing to the podcast. This episode, we're gifted by having none other than Gary Lefever. He is the co-CEO of Ananos. He's also general counsel for Ananos. He's also a co-founder. He's also a husband. He's also a father. And I believe he has a cat and a dog, but I forgot to ask him what's the name of the cat and dog. Gary, are you there?
I'm here, Thomas.
Wonderful. Great. I hate technical problems. Gary, welcome to the podcast, and the timing could not be better. But before we get into what we're going to talk about today, please introduce to the world, what does Ananos do?
Ananos provides technical solutions that overcome the legal limitations to maximizing data value and innovation.
The legal limitations, that is interesting. This is what we're going to jump on. Now, usually a lot of the podcasts we do, we focus on a lot of stuff on leadership. But I thought this podcast with you, Gary, we're going to talk about innovation and educating how to be innovative in the area of data, right? And a lot of right now, we're in the middle of a recession. Companies are looking for new revenue models, and they're sitting on huge amounts of data. Gary, please explain to the world, and this too specifically to these executives who are out there who have spent millions of dollars or euros or whatever your currency is on building an incredible data platform. I mean, as they look in 2023, 2024, and they say, where's my new revenue model? Your new revenue model is lying inside your databases. Gary, explain to them, why are they sitting on something that is absolutely beyond a goldmine?
I'll start with a bold prediction.
There we go.
A company that is willing to have an open mind as to what data they have, where they got it, how they can use it in a sustainable long-term manner that meets their needs, the needs of their customers, partners, consumers, and society, can increase their innovation and profitability several times over. I'm not talking a percentage increase. I'm talking a magnitude increase. And the reason for that is legal parameters, privacy, security concerns are what restrict full use of data. And those legal and security concerns are outdated because they're predicated on an old way of using data. People used to protect data by keeping it within a box, an enclave. Mm-hmm. They signed contracts. They had policies, procedures. Internationally, we entered into treaties. Okay. All those things are important, but they all share one thing. They're only words. And as data starts to be shared, combined, and flows across borders between multiple parties, there's no way to enforce those words. It's simply impossible. Okay. When you go on the internet, you're being tracked everywhere. You wouldn't even know who to sue. So what do? You embed the technical controls that speak to the use of the data that is permissible into the data. So no matter where it goes, it's automatically technologically enforced in an auditable, provable, mathematical manner. When you do that, you can maximize your use of data without violating anyone's rights. And once you show that's the case, you'll find you have additional suppliers, users, and people who want to align with you and do business with you.
All right, you put your hand right into the crow's nest, whatever expression you want to use. Two major questions got me going already. Let's jump back to your first statement, because right now GDPR and all of these regulations have everybody paranoid and petrified about being sued. But yet you said you're not going to be sued, or you can't determine who's going to sue you? Please clarify that, because right now we're all these executives, everybody listening at running companies are paranoid of all these rules and regulations on data. Can you clarify your statement?
If you combine both the policies as to what you do and do not want to do with your data, and the technologies needed to ensure that that is what happens, you will be in a much better position. I'm never going to claim no one can sue you, because that's what keeps lawyers engaged, right? You can always sue someone. But the question is, who wins?
Exactly.
Right? And the reality is there's a lot of attention being paid to words, and they should be. I'm not dismissing the importance. I'm just going to talk about one thing very quickly, right? International data transfer, SREMS 2, standard contractual clauses, SCCs. Everyone's focused on coming up with new SECs so they can continue to use the U.S. cloud and transfer EU data to the U.S. and elsewhere.
Exactly.
Okay? What they're missing is the major ruling of that case is not that SECs aren't important. Of course they are. They're not enough, because governments aren't bound to those contracts. You have to have technical controls. They're referred to as technical safeguards in that law, in that case. Right? You have to have technical safeguards that complement your contractual safeguards, your organizational safeguards. Without the technical safeguards that ensure people can't misuse the data, it's only words. And the reality is the GDPR has not only the challenges, it has the solutions built into it. Data protection by design and by default is much more than just privacy by design. It says that before you use the data, you have to protect it by default before it leaves your house, as it were, in such a way that it can't be misused.
Okay.
Yep. Purpose limitation, data minimization. But the word that most people don't realize is so powerful is because they already think they know what it means. And it's pseudonymization. Pseudonymization, as defined under the GDPR and now other under numerous other laws. And one of the things that surprises a lot of people is five U.S. state laws have this exact term. It means you have to protect the data so it can't be misused technologically. So you're combining the policies, the procedures, the treaties with the technological guarantees that it can't be misused.
So all the data, now I'm going into the mindset of an executive in a company. You have petabits, zenobits of data stored in different clouds, different basements, whatever, all over the world. But you're telling me that that general thinking that I had in my head, that I have tremendous amounts of data, that's the asset of my company, that general level thinking is just, forget about it. That's nothing compared to the level of specificity I need to have about my data and how to treat my data and how to take care of my data. Because if I do that to my data, and I classify my data and I protect my data, then once I've done all that, that's my new revenue model. Can you connect all those pieces together?
Absolutely. And I'm going to use an adage that's already trite, right?
Go ahead.
Data is the new oil.
Right. Explain that, because I hear that so much, but nobody ever wants to finish that sentence. They just like throwing that, then they jump to some other topic.
Right. So I'm actually going to change it. I'm going to explain it, and then I'm going to change it. I think the more powerful statement is data is the new water. But first, let me go to the oil.
Go for it.
Oil has very little value in its crude form.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And in fact, the value of oil can be maximized by refining it for specific use cases.
Absolutely.
So the oil that's used to heat a house is different from the oil that's used for jet fuel, which is different than the oil that's used for a car. And even Exactly. within different types of cars.
Yep.
Right? It's the refinement of the oil that brings about its value. Mm. But that's where the analogy breaks down. Mm. Because once you've burned oil, once the combustion has occurred, the oil no longer exists.
Exactly.
That's why data is the new water. And we're learning now we can't take water for granted either. But the one powerful thing about water is it recycles itself. And so if you're careful about your water usage, it actually is sustainable.
Exactly.
And so what I'm talking about is refining your data to maximize its value by creating a transformed version that does not exhaust the underlying data. Okay. Oil is exhausted when used. Water is not. So if you transform your data assets so that they're use case specific, you will drive the maximum value from that use case. And with the right technical controls, you can ensure that it cannot be misused. If intercepted, it reveals no identity. You're not subject to ransomware attacks, breaches, and you can charge a different price for a different use of the underlying data. The data replenishes itself, if that's the right term, right? It never exhausts itself. But this is not how people have done it before. I may enter into a contract with you and say, Thomas, here's my data. Please don't use it for more than X.
Yep.
And you've got all my data, and you've agreed that you won't use it for more than X.
And you trust me.
And I trust you.
Yep.
But let's be honest. How much more are you going to pay for A through Y when you already have it, right? I've already depressed the price you're going to pay because at some point, no matter how trustworthy you are, at some point, if I charge too much, you already have it.
Exactly.
And if I have to trust you, that's one thing. But what if there's tens of thousands of other people involved in the data flows? I have to trust all of them too.
Exactly.
And I can't come after them. I don't even know who they are. Right?
That's exactly it. You don't even know who they are, right? Once that data leaves your hand and is in mine, who knows?
So if you create a use case specific transformed version of the data that does not reveal any more than is needed for the intended purpose, someone will gladly pay for that. And when they want a different version of the data, they'll come back and they'll pay for that too. But what's important about this is you do it in a way that doesn't violate anyone's rights. And in doing so, it's both more profitable and sustainable and respectful and ethical.
So I love what you're saying, but I want to get to very specifics. I'm back in the minds of an executive. I have a huge database worth 5 years, 10 years worth of data on client data. Okay?
Yep.
I want to license, sell that data to one particular customer for a certain amount, for a certain time period. I want to make sure that they can then distribute that to some other people. Is it possible to do that?
Yes. This is why I said you have to have a flexible mind, because this may not be the way you've perceived data in the past.
Yep. And that's why I'm going to this very simple example, because I want you to reset all our minds, because we need to have our minds reset, because data is no longer a damn hard drive. It's much more complicated. So please, Gary, go ahead.
Okay. So I think we're all familiar with the concept of a digital twin. Digital twin is a digital representation of a person, place, or thing. And I want to spend just a second on that, because I'm going to spend a lot of time relating this to people, personal data, but everything I say relates just as well to trade secrets and contractual relationships. So it could be data about a smart city. It could be data about trade secrets as to how I go about making my product. So person, place, or thing, digital representation, digital twin. Okay. Now, I want to do something though with customer data. So that's people. I take the digital twin, which is all the information that I have about all my customers, okay? And I create a use case specific output. At Anonos, we call that a variant twin, because it's a variation of the original data that reveals only the data that's relevant for the intended use. And the thing that shocks most people is all the other data that it excludes is actually a liability. And there's a word for that liability: information surplus. It is a liability because I don't have to give it to the party I'm sharing the data with for them to derive their desired result. And I didn't charge them for it. And if they misuse that, we're both in trouble. It's a liability. It's not an asset. So by winnowing down, as it were, the elements of the original data set, the elements of the digital twins, to create a variant twin that can be shown to convey the intended information value, the reason someone's contracting with me, without revealing personally identifiable information or under the GDPR personal data, I have expanded data use rights. And this, we actually refer to this as statutory pseudonymization, which is a terrible word. What is it, 8-9 syllables, right? but what it means is the requirements for this are set out in the GDPR. And the rewards for this are set out in the GDPR. And I'm not going to get wonky and cite section verses and this, that, or the other GDPR, but I'm happy to have that conversation with people. This is statutorily recognized expanded data use because you took the time to restrict the amount of data, the type of the data, the identifiability of the data that's used, which gives you greater data use, lower liability. Your partner pays what you've negotiated. They're happy. And you have a happy partner both because they don't have the liability and everyone whose data it relates to is happy because their rights were not violated. So again, you take the overall data set, the digital twin, you create a use case specific version of that that has been transformed to provide and convey the desired information value, but not identity. We refer to that as a variant twin. And those variant twins can travel anywhere and be processed by anyone without violating people's rights.
But for this specific example, I just wanted to go to the customer I'm selling the data to.
Correct. So it goes to them and they can't misuse it because you didn't include any of the information that would empower the misuse. Now, you're still restricted to your trust in them because you could by using but this is existing technology, right? You could also have public private encryption keys and other things so that only people with the keys can open it. So exactly. this concept of variant twins, of statutory pseudonymization does not throw other technologies out the window. It leverages those. So you would provide the variant twin, it would be encrypted, and the party that you send it to could decrypt it. If someone could both get the variant twin and the key, they could in fact see the variant twin, but here's the power. It doesn't reveal identity. So in the event of a data breach or a government request for production of data, nothing has happened that's not supposed to happen because no one's identity was revealed.
This is huge. This is huge. And I love the fact that you're resetting my head and everybody else out there. And I'm going to try to simplify this so that we give everybody new revenue models. Let's say you're an oil company or a bank. Bank even better, right? They have insane amounts of customer data. And that data has to be digital. Matter of fact, I made an assumption. That data has to be digital. Everything you talk about is digital. What about a lot of companies who haven't digitalized their data? Do you have any comments to that or any advice for them on that?
Yeah, they better hurry up or the market's going to leave them behind.
Okay, that was straight to the point. So you have this huge amounts of data. This data, as you said, is the new water. I love that. But for some people, they'll go, well, how do I make money on water? They haven't gone to the local store and see how much money you could charge them.
Exactly.
Right. But my point is that you've been running your company for X number of years or decades, or maybe some companies centuries. You have tremendous amounts of data. That data leveraged, not just leveraged, but also laid out and provided in the way in which you describe, I cannot repeat it because you're so articulate and I'm not, that I can have any customer in the world ask for my data. Buy maybe a specific set of data. Let's say users in a specific country during the country of Norway from the month of January through June who live in north of Trondheim and blah, blah. It's just, you could have such specific requests, but because your company has that data, you can provide that data and sell that data, and you can still continue being the company that you are with your current business model, your current revenue model. But for every day that your big company works and you're creating data, you're creating money in the form of data, which is the new water. Do you see the picture I'm trying to wrap together?
Absolutely. And why I love the fact that you said water and not oil, okay? Yeah. Because with the right uses, water does come back. It replenishes itself, whether it goes into the soil or wherever it goes. Ultimately, exactly. It becomes precipitation. It comes back down. And so the message from that is, unlike oil, that once it combusts, it's gone and you realize one value. If you take the right approach, you can continue to repurpose that data And so it that's why it's a compounding effect. That's why I say boldly that I think companies could increase their innovation and revenues by multiples because you're dealing with a replenishable, renewable, scalable asset.
There you go. So for everybody listening out there, you need your innovation group that you have or you're about to set up during the recession. This is the time to do it. Here is their first task. And this is what they should just focus on in 2023 and 24. And that is setting up the platform of your data so that is reusable, it is sellable to the world, period. There is huge amounts of revenue there. And remember what Gary said, I think it's fantastic, the water thing. Because water is a solid, you heat it up, it condensates, turns to gas, and then you boil it, turns to gas, and then it condensates, it turns back to a liquid, and it goes round and round and round. Your data is sold to one customer. That's just a data set for that customer for that certain time period, but it's still reusable. All the data you've ever created is a constant source of money, but you just don't sell it once. You keep on selling the same data. You combine that with other data sets. You partner with other companies, combine the data together, and makes it even more powerful and more beneficial revenue-wise data. Am I on the right path, Gary?
Yes, and the reason it works, and this is important, is because the technical transformation that allows that data to be reused,
yes,
can be shown provably, auditably, to protect the rights of the people that the data relates to. That's the sustainability part of it.
Say that one more time, please. Just that is so important because privacy is huge and will forever be huge going forward. And a lot of legal departments of every company is going to be saying, can we do this? What about privacy? Say that one more time, please, to make it very clear for everybody.
This is why you have to be nimble. And everyone from the chief data officer to the general counsel has to be willing to have the assumptions that they've predicated themselves on for years challenged. Okay, but this is all provable, defensible. The reason most data uses are not permissible is because they're relying on words alone to protect them. And once the words or the data, excuse me, leaves your environment, you can't enforce the words anymore. You can go after the party who violates it, but you can't ensure the enforcement. So what we're talking about is technical enforcement of the policies, procedures, and even treaties so that the data cannot be misused. So now the data can flow anywhere, across jurisdictional borders, across different vertical industries, because you can show that the rights of the individuals involved, their fundamental rights are protected in the data format itself. And this is something under the GDPR. It's called data protection by design and by default and statutory pseudonymization. And it requires a nimble mind to read those provisions and see what it does and what it unlocks, but it's huge.
Now, you just scared me a little bit. And you said to read those provisions. Okay. So I'm all excited into listening to this podcast. And I was like, wait a minute. I got to read this legal mumbo jumbo.
No. No, they asked their general counsel. Okay. We actually, this week, this is how timely this is. This week, there is an article being published in the Journal of Data Protection and Privacy. And the title of it is Technical Controls That Protect Data in Use and Prevent Misuse. And it is an authoritative peer-reviewed article for your lawyers to read that proves all of this. So you don't have to read it, but your attorney has to. So when you have a conversation with him or her, they have an open mind because this is probably not what they thought the case was.
Exactly. This is so exciting. And I hope everyone gets it because data is the new water. I think you, when you opened it, you started the discussion saying you have to have an open mind to understand this. This is an episode of this podcast that is worthy of listening to several times because once you open your mind, you're going to realize that what you've been saving in your company, what you've been creating, all this data, there it is. There's all the money that you've been missing. What's that expression? Leaving money on the table?
Yep.
Yeah, it's been pouring like water off the table for decades. You just haven't realized it. But now it is now something that you could collect. Gary, you are amazing. So my last question is this. I'm a listener. I'm excited. I get the water analogy. I love the water analogy. What do I do next now? I want to start looking at how do I make my data an asset? How do I make my data water? Period. Bottom line. What's my first step?
This may be counterintuitive. The first step is you have to verify for yourself that this approach does not jeopardize your fundamental primary business model. And it doesn't. So if you come to anonos.com, A-N-O-N-O-S.com, we're happy to share information with you. If you're a data person, we'll share data information. If you're a lawyer, it's legal information. But the first thing you have to do is you have to verify for yourself that taking this variant twin approach to data use does not jeopardize your mainline business, because that's where you're getting the core data from. And you want to continue your customers and your partners to want to give you their data because of their confidence level. It's not going to be misused. And then you transform it in these use case specific versions. And so again, why it may be counterintuitive, you first have to establish for yourself that this isn't going to jeopardize your mainline business, so that when you get around to the fact that it could double, triple, quadruple your revenues and innovation, that smile on your face is impossible to wipe off.
I'm laughing because I'm smiling. You caught me. So listen, I think, as I said before, a lot of you out there, you have innovation groups. You're thinking about starting an innovation group. You're asking yourself, why should I even do something innovative during a recession? You start an innovation group, or you have your innovation group, do exactly what Gary said. Look, go to Anonos, start the discussion, and because what's going to happen is you're going to realize that your asset, the data you've been collecting on your customers, on your business, on the transformer that you have out in the field, on whatever you have in your network, in the warehouse, it doesn't matter. The number of fish that you catch, all of that data is like water, and it's the future of your company. Gary, you are amazing. Any last words of wisdom you want to share with all the listeners out there that are right now just thinking about water like crazy?
So I hope this comes across well. You used the statement before, you know, don't leave money on the table. Mm. I think what we want to leave the audience with is don't leave your water in the sink. Because the reality is you want the water to flow down, through, and out. This is about data flows. Much as currency only has value when it's exchanged between parties, the value of data increases exponentially when it flows, both more extensively throughout your own organization and with other organizations. And so this is really about enabling data flows by converting digital twins, digital representations of persons, places, and things, into variant twins that are inexhaustible and don't have the effect that oil does, where post-combustion and use, there's no further value from the asset.
Inexhaustible reusable data equals money, period. Fantastic. Gary, you are so articulate. This was fantastic. We will have you back. By the way, congratulations on the award you won. What award did your company just win in the last 24 hours?
So we just won an award. Frost & Sullivan awarded us. It'll be publicized later this week. It's for de-identification and what variant twins can mean for healthcare, life science, clinical trials. Again, think of it. You're able to share data between parties to come up with new discoveries, right? Which ultimately do result in money, but in the meantime, to save millions of lives. So that very excited about that.
Then I cannot think of a better way to end this episode of this podcast. Gary Lefever, co-CEO of Anonos General. He's also the general counsel, also the co-founder. We never got into the name of your cat and dog. What is the name of your cat and dog?
So two cats, the barn cats. I live up in the mountains and they keep the snakes away. And two dogs, the cats are Knot and Spot, because Spot has Spot and Knot does not. And the two dogs, and you always have more than one dog where I live, because coyotes and mountain lions and bears are more concerned about being outnumbered than the size of the opponent. And so
Where the hell do you live? Where?
I live in the hinterlands outside of Lyons, Colorado. And that's Talon and Scout, my two dogs, both mixed.
Mike, I feel like I'm going to see you in the next episode of Yellowstone or something.
Oh, it's two episodes from now. It's not the next one.
There you go. I know that guy. Gary, thank you so much to everybody out there. Thank you for your time. Gary, any last words you want to add? How do they get in contact with you?
They can reach us at Anonos, ANONOS.com.
Wonderful. Gary, thank you.
Pleasure, Thomas.
Thank you. And to all you listeners, thank you so much for spending your time on the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. This was another great episode. I am Thomas Sanglero, and I thank you. Thank you, and thank you, Gary. And please subscribe to the podcast. Share it with all your friends, all your colleagues. This is an episode worth listening to over and over because, as Gary said, Gary, say it, data is the new
water.
There we go. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Gary. Take care. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.